stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing.
Lena Vista, we want to welcome you to our service, and for our first-time visitors, we want to welcome you as well, and hopefully you have a great experience today. As most of you know, Brother Kenny and Diane are on vacation this week, so Brother Barry Dees is going to fill in this morning and this evening. We want to remind you of the schedule. We have Sunday school at 9:30. Our morning worship is at 10:45. Our Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m., and again, Wednesday is 6 p.m. We have our meal at 5 o'clock on Wednesday night, for anybody that's interested. Again, our service is on 6 p.m. on Wednesday night, and then followed by choir practice at 7. The food ministry is going well. That's on Tuesday from 8 to 10, and they're always looking for volunteers. So if anybody's interested, come up and join us. There's also a reminder that there's no nursery or children's church on Wednesday and or Sunday. Before we go and pray, we want to remember the families of lost loved ones and our sick, folks that are traveling, our shut-ins, our church leaders, our government leaders, and our military. Let's go to the word of prayer. Brother Lewis, would you lead us in prayer? Let's all stand and sing "The Family of God." And I'd like everybody to turn around and look at your neighbor and tell them you love them and tell them that you miss them and you hadn't seen them in a while. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy in heaven, Jesus, as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Now let's turn over to sing "Victory in Jesus." Sing out. be seated. At this time, the musicians are going to play, and we're going to have the deacons come. If anybody else would like to pray, you can just come down to the altar.
Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for all these believers that have gathered together and the ones that are streaming us, Father, that you'll give them a blessing that only you can give, Father. Father, again, just thank you for thank you for everything you've done for us. Be with the ones that are traveling today. I thank you for the people that you've had to fill in, Father, that Barry and Bryant have just, I hope that you'll give them a blessing, Father. That they're going to give us. Father, I ask that you give Barry the message you'd have us to hear and that all distractions will be eliminated and that we'll hear exactly what you want us to hear, Father. Father, we're going to give you all the praise and glory for everything that happens today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dale. Let's continue singing. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born in his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my
a special for you. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. Congregational song, When We All Get to Heaven. Let's all stand.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
This song this morning.
Onward to the prize we
David are going to sing us a song.
Even so, come. Thank you, Barry. And see it up there on there. You think? Thank you. creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call every sinner, wake up the saints, let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, and all will be new. Your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is
coming soon. So we wait for We'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus,
Thank you, Brother David, for taking time out from your church this morning to come sing that song for us. I love that song. It's such a powerful song. And not only that, it goes along with my message today. Hey, listen, I'm excited to be back with you guys today. Such a privilege to come out to, I consider still my home church. I mean, I grew up in the Lord right here, got saved when I was 25 right here, and it's good to come back and see folks that we love and we've known for a long time. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in three different books of the Bible this morning. So turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm a little hot here, brother, on this mic. We're going to read verse 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow also as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now flip over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We got three verses here we're going to look at. I hear pages turning. That's a good thing. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And I love this part. "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Skip down to verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity you've given me here today, Father. God, I just pray the same prayer I always pray when you give me the opportunity to preach. God, I pray you do the preaching. Lord, just allow me to be your chosen vessel today. And Father, just pray for everyone in this room this morning. I pray that they will hear what you have for them, Father. Lord, I just thank you for all that you do for us. Forgive us when we failed you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke 12, 40 says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour ye think not." Now, I want you to think back just a moment to your childhood days. I don't know about y'all, but I am so glad I grew up in the generation I grew up in. I mean, you know, when we was kids, we went outside and played. There's kids living in my neighborhood for months. I didn't know there's kids in that house. It was always on their iPads and their iPhones and their PlayStations and all that stuff. But we actually got outside and played. And one of the things I think every child played growing up was a game called hide and seek. Y'all remember that game? Someone would be the seeker, and that person would maybe go up to a tree or go up to the wall of the house and lean up and close their eyes, and they would begin to count. And everybody else would run and hide. And when the seeker got finished counting, they'd always say the same thing: ready or not, here I come. Well, I'm preaching on this subject today: ready or not, here I come. In Revelations 22:7, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." In Revelations 22:12, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." And in Revelations 22:20, Jesus says, "Surely I come quickly." And if you go and read all that verse, John finishes that verse out by saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus, come." But he says, "Surely I come quickly." Now that word "surely" in Greek means yes. Jesus is saying, "Yes, I'm coming." Now that tells me if Jesus tells me he's coming, we need to be ready. I'm reminded of a story of a young preacher that had just finished seminary. He had sent out his resume to several churches, and he'd been praying God would give him a church for him and his wife to go and pastor. And finally, one day, the phone rings. And this church calls and said, "We'd like for you and your wife to come and be the pastor of our church." They were very excited. They got all their stuff together, and they went to where that church was at. And that first week, he had been praying, "Lord, what would I preach the first week?" But he knew whatever he preached, he wanted to do something very dramatic to get the folks' attention. So when the worship service was over with and the choir come down, the young pastor went up on stage. He backed all the way up, and he come running up to the edge of the stage and stopped. He says, "Behold, I come quickly." And his mind went blank. Oh, that's a bad deal for a preacher. Y'all understand that? So he backs up a second time. He comes running up. He stops. He says, "Behold, I come quickly." Same results. He forgot what he was going to say. He's about to panic. So he says, "You know what?" He says this to himself, "I'm going to try this one more time." So he backs up a third time. He comes running up to the edge of the stage, and he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And he loses his balance. He falls off the stage, and he landed on top of an elderly lady sitting in the first pew. He's embarrassed. He looked up at him and said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, preacher, I'm fine. It was my fault. It wasn't your fault. You reminded me three times you was coming, and I didn't get ready." Guys, Jesus is saying, "Behold, I come quickly." Guys, we need to be ready, amen? Listen, in just a few months, and time flies, doesn't it? In just a few months, we're going to be celebrating one of the major events of our Christian faith. That's the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then a few months after that, we're going to celebrate another major event in our Christian faith, and that's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. But what we're going to talk about today is an event that hadn't happened yet. But it's an event that is coming. Today we're going to be talking about the rapture. We're going to be talking about the rapture. And then, you know, the rapture is when Jesus comes back to get all the saved ones. He doesn't come all the way down to earth. He stops in the clouds. And he calls all the saved ones to return to heaven with him. Did you know that there's some people that don't believe this book? There's some people that believe some of this book, but they don't believe in the rapture. I'm just going to tell y'all something. I believe in the rapture because it's in God's Word. And if it's in God's Word, we need to be believing it. You know, I love the prophecies of the Bible, especially those that have already been fulfilled, like things that was prophesied in the Old Testament. But you know, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, King David wrote in Psalms 22 that the Messiah would be crucified. And guess what? They didn't know anything about crucifixion. Their capital punishment was stoning people. But 1,000 years, God revealed to King David the Messiah would be crucified. In Isaiah chapter 53, 700 years before Jesus was born, God revealed to Isaiah the sufferings that Christ would endure on the cross. And about that same time, about 700 years, in the book of Micah, God revealed to Micah that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So you say, do you believe this book? Amen. From cover to cover, I believe it. And if God says one day Jesus is coming back, then we need to believe it. Amen. Listen, Jesus' return is going to be an imminent event. Now that word imminent, something that is going to happen. It's going to happen, folks. When I was a boy, I was very, very mischievous. Miss Gray, you might remember that. Miss Gray's known me since I was a little fella. I was mischievous. I'm not going to say I was mean, but I was mischievous. And sometimes if my parents and I were going somewhere for the day or just several hours, my dad would tell me the same thing every time before we left the house. Son, you need to be on your best behavior. And I'd always say the same thing, yes, sir. And we'd go get in the car, and I'd get in that back seat, and I'd start sweating. I'd be thinking, you know, if we're only going to be gone a couple hours, I got a real good chance of behaving the whole time. But if it's anything over that, I'm probably going to mess up. And we went past a couple hours, and I messed up. My dad would always tell me, he said, son, when you get home, you're going to get it. Now, guess what? I knew what it was. I didn't like it because I had had it many, many times, and it hurt. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm saying. Your parents didn't spare the rod. Amen? My dad would keep his promise, and when we got home, he would carry me in that bedroom. He would wear my backside out. And I tell you all this to say this. If I can count on what my earthly father told me was going to happen, I can most assuredly count on what my heavenly father is going to tell me, has told me what will happen, and that is the rapture of the church. That is the return of King Jesus. You can bet on it, folks, it's going to happen because God said it is. Now listen, if you're studying the Bible, primarily you'll find it in three books of the Bible. John chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But what you will not find in the Bible is the word rapture. It's not in here. Look, in the King James Version, there's over 700,000 words in the King James Version, but rapture's not one of them. Well, you think, well, if it's not in the Bible, why do we teach it? Why do we preach it? And why do we believe it? I'm glad you asked that. You see, the word rapture's not in the Bible, but the event is in the Bible. The event is in the Bible. We read 1 Thessalonians a while ago. You don't have to turn it right now. We're going to get by there in just a minute. But in 1 Thessalonians, it was two words. Those two words are caught up. The two words are caught up. They come from a single Greek word called harpazo. Okay? And that means, harpazo means seized, snatched, or suddenly taken. That's what that means. When that was translated to Latin, the word harpazo become rapio. Now, when it was translated to English, the word rapio becomes rapture. That's where we get the word rapture from. Okay? But the important thing is those two words caught up, seized, snatched, or suddenly taken. That's what's going to happen in the rapture. Go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. I love these verses. Verse 51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall be changed. You see, Paul is talking about people who have died in Christ. He's not talking about people that are just asleep. They're literally dead. I mean, they're in a tomb. They're in a grave. And they're in the grave, and what the thing is these guys are going to rise first, okay? Those who have died in Christ are the ones that he's talking about as being asleep. But Paul goes on to say, we will all be changed. Me and Ella was talking a while ago, the older we get, the harder it is, ain't it? Ain't you glad one of these days we're going to be changed? Listen, I'm sure y'all are like me when I get up in the morning, all my body just don't work like it's supposed to. Anybody there? Yeah. Back, knees, shoulders, neck, ankles, hands. You know, things just don't work like they used to work. Or what about sometimes you, when you walk, when you have to, I don't like to, but when you have to, you walk in front of the mirror. And you think, oh, Lord, help me. And you know what? We look in that mirror and we think, you know, if I could change this about my appearance or that about my appearance, I would do that. You know, most of us in here are, most of us, 50 or older. Most of us. David, I remember my bicep, my muscle used to be on top of my arm. Now it's down here. You see, things just don't, they don't remain the same. Things don't, they need to be changed, amen? Well, one day God's going to change us, amen? One day he's going to change us. We're not going to be just like we are right now. You know what? One day, something great is going to happen. Talking about the changes. Guess what? One day there's not going to be any more pain. Hallelujah. Yeah. One day there's not going to be any more sorrows. Amen. One day, guess what? There's not going to be any more suffering. Thank you, Jesus. One day, guess what? There's not going to be any hospitals. Because you know why? There ain't going to be no sickness. And that includes COVID. One day, there's not going to be any doctors because there's not going to be any disease. One day, there's not going to be any police because there's not going to be any crime. Hallelujah. One day, there's not going to be any emergency workers because there's not going to be any emergencies. One day, these bodies are going to be changed and these bodies will be made fit for heaven. Did you know our normal bodies right now is not fit for heaven? That's why God says, you know what? I'm going to change that, boys and girls. You're going to be changed. And I like the way Paul describes this in the next verse. First of all, the rapture is imminent. Second of all, the rapture is going to be instant. It's going to be like that. Look at verse 52. I love this verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I love this because Paul uses the fastest moving part of the body to describe the speed of the rapture. The twinkling of an eye. Did you know on an average, you blink your eye 25 times per minute. Okay? 25 times per minute. I'm looking at some stuff on this. Based on that fact, if you take a 10-hour road trip and you drove 55 miles an hour, with the way you blink your eyes, you would have driven 33 miles with your eyes closed. I think I passed some of them folks going to Lakeland yesterday. They look like they was driving with their eyes closed. You know, sometimes my wife thinks I drive with my eyes closed. She'll say, get off those speed bumps. Those bumps in the middle of the road. Get off those bumps. But listen, in less than 1 second, every living believer and every believer that has been buried in Christ is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. Guys, we're out of here. Guess what? You ain't got to call Orlando and book a flight on JetBlue, Southwest, or Delta. Well, guess who our pilot's going to be? King Jesus. He's going to say, y'all come on, and guess what? We're blasting off this planet. Now, listen, I believe the brass section in Heaven's orchestra is warming up right now. I believe the banquet supper is being cooked in the oven. I believe the banquet hall is being made ready right now. I'm going to tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? Your bag's packed. You know what you're doing? You're waiting on your ride. We're just waiting on our ride. We're waiting on Jesus to come up in that eastern sky and rapture his church home. Look at verse 58. Hey, y'all don't miss this verse. Don't miss this verse. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Be steadfast and immovable. How many times have we seen people walk down the aisle of a church, accept Christ as Lord and Savior, get in church, get in the faith, do good for a while, and they fall right back into the ways of the world. They don't want nothing to do with church. They don't want nothing to do with Christ. Guess what? That's not being immovable. It's not being immovable. As Christians, we got to plant our feet on some solid ground and say, you know what? I don't care what Satan throws at me, I'm immovable. Because not who I am, but who lives in me. We're going to get into that tonight. We got to take a stand for Christ. And you know what that means? As Christians, we should not quit the faith. I'm going to say that again. As Christians, we should not quit the faith. I'm going to tell you why. And we'll get into a little bit tonight. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son, Jesus came and did everything that the Lord had asked him to do, including being beaten, nailed to the cross, and died. Jesus never quit on you and I. It's important that we don't quit on Jesus. I mean, what if he just said, God, I'm not going to die for those sinners that's on earth now, or those that's going to be born. I'm just not going to do it. They can all just die and go to hell. I'm not going to die for them. But you know what he did? He said, Father, your will, not mine. Because you know what? Because the Father loves us. We can't quit on the Father. Flip back over to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to go to verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Guys, listen, not only is it going to be an imminent event, not only is it going to be an instantaneous event, but it's going to be a loud event. It says there's going to be a shout. There's going to be a trumpet. It's going to be loud. People's going to know. They're going to hear. When I was a young Christian, I remember thinking, wouldn't it be awesome to be that last generation that never dies? We're here on earth when the rapture happens. I don't know when it's going to happen. Based on what we see things happening in America right now we thought we would never see, amen? I don't know when the rapture is going to come. I don't think it's going to be real long. I can't put a date on it, I don't know. I just know I can be ready. It'd be awesome to be that generation that you didn't die. You were just raptured out. But this is the thing. I love what it says here. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. And you know what? That's fitting because guess what? They've been waiting long to see Jesus and we have, haven't they? Them old dead bodies have been waiting a long time to be reunited. But then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Then those that are alive. There's a song in the hymn book, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing Jesus face to face? I believe we're going to fall on our face and just worship. Listen, I was thinking about this week. All the believers throughout history, through all times, when this rapture occurs, guess what? We're all going to be united together in heaven. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I love music. My wife will tell you, I've always got my phone going with music. I've always got something playing. I love music. I love to watch the YouTube music videos. And there's a song out, it's been out for a couple of years, and a lot of people are singing it. Matter of fact, about a month ago on the Monday Food Ministry, every time I passed by David, he was singing this song. I said, brother, you got that song stuck in your head, ain't you? Waymaker. Y'all know Waymaker? Man, every time I walked by Brother David, he was singing Waymaker. But the other day, I watched this on a YouTube video. It was a big church. And they had this awesome praise team. And they were going to lead their church in that song. And I was watching in this video, the people sitting there. And about the first four notes that girl hit on that keyboard, they knew what song it was, and they came to the feet. Probably 2,000 people, I would guess. They come to the feet, and they all begin to sing and to praise and to worship. Some had was lifting holy hands, somewhat, but they were all the same thing. It was praising the Savior. And I I'm going to tell y'all what I thought. That looks awesome to see a couple thousand people standing on their feet praising the Savior. What's that day going to look like when all believers are together in heaven and we're having that praise service with the Father standing right there in front of us? Man, that little video I saw in that song, pitiful compared to what we're going to experience one day. But listen, for those of us who are saved when the rapture happens, it's going to be awesome. Excuse me just a minute. But listen, the ones that are left behind, it's going to be a day of fear, confusion, and chaos. Okay? Listen, I'm a visual kind of guy. I want y'all to just try and visualize this. It's the day of the rapture. You're driving down Wrecker Highway, or you're driving down 92 in Auburndale, and you're passing by the two cemeteries in Auburndale. And when the rapture happens, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be driving by those cemeteries, and it's going to blow your mind. Because graves are going to be busting open. Those dead bodies is coming up out of that grave. And you know what? If someone is driving in front of you or behind you or beside you or Christians, guess what? There's not going to be nobody behind the wheel. Because they're getting raptured out of that car or that truck. Can you imagine the wrecks on the highways, the local town street? Can you imagine the wrecks out on the interstate and the chaos and the confusion? Guys driving 18-wheelers running 70 miles an hour. And they're saved and they're raptured out of that semi. Commercial flights all over the world is flying. And if the pilot and the co-pilot are both saved, guess what? Planes is crashing. You know, it might be smart for the airlines to say, okay, I want one saved pilot and one unsaved pilot. I don't know if they thought that far ahead. I might mention that. Because we all fly on planes sometimes, right? But it won't matter for us if we're Christians, right? We just won't have as far to blast off from earth as we're in that plane. God's going to take us out of that plane. Or you think about this. All the confusion and chaos going on, people's panicking. And their news is starting to spread of what's happened. And people may be at work and they're calling home to their spouses or the kids, and no one's answering the phone. And just say a dad comes flying home from work to check on his family, and he opens up the door, and he hears stuff going on in the kitchen. He smells food cooking, and he runs in there, and food's boiling over on the stove, but his wife can't be found nowhere. He hears music playing back there in the kids' rooms, and he runs down the hall to check on his kids. He opens up the doors, his kids are gone, and he sits down and he begins to think, my God. They told me about this. Every Sunday, my wife and kids would go to church, and I wouldn't go to church, and my wife told me about this thing called a rapture. That is what has happened. And guess what? He missed it. A lot of people will miss it. Guys, for those left behind, it's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a bad day. Let me ask you a question. If you're saved and you're ready for the rapture, say amen. 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 Let's go to the last part I'm going to read. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I'm sure y'all are familiar with these verses. Starting in verse 1, we're going to read verse 1 through 3 and verse 6. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I love this part. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what does it say? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How many of y'all live in a mansion? Anybody here live in a mansion? We don't live in a mansion. Guess what? If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you got one with your name on it, just waiting on you. You're going to have a mansion one day. And it's prepared by the Father. And I love what he says here. I will come again and receive you to myself. More evidence of the rapture. Jesus is saying, guys, get ready because I'm coming. I don't know when. but I'm coming. And that verse 6, did you know that, hey, you got any Oprah Winfrey fans in here? Oprah fans? I was watching years ago, you know, she has this huge following. She got some kind of weird church and a guy from her started up. I don't know the name of it, but they had in this one segment of her show, and I seen it on video, they had some Christians in there in the audience, and they were talking about this. And this one lady spoke, and she said, you know, the Bible says that no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. And I about hit the floor when I heard what Oprah told her. She said, that's not right. She said, there's many ways to heaven. And I know what the Bible says, and I know what Oprah says, but I just believe, I'm going to believe Jesus over Oprah, amen? That's a no-brainer. Oprah, Jesus. I'm going to get on the side of Jesus. I'm going to believe him. Jesus said, there's only one way, guys. There's no other way possibly to get to heaven to the Father except through Jesus. Let me close with this. Just last week, we had a couple hurricanes hit the coast, didn't we? Louisiana, Texas. You know, I heard that next morning between Louisiana and Texas, like over 500,000 people with no power. And you see some of the pictures of the devastation that that hurricane did when it hit. But you know, about 3 or 4 days before that hurricane come in and hit the coast, everybody was watching it. Watching the path. We always worry about during hurricane season, God, please don't let us get hit by no hurricane. Florida, man, we just covered by, we're surrounded by water, amen? I mean, we got all kind of ways we can get hit by a hurricane. And we're watching this, we're saying, Lord, that hurricane hit us. But at the same time, Lord, it's got to hit somewhere most of the time, and we pray for those folks. What's great is when they just got there in the ocean, never hit shore, right? But people were watching the track of this storm. I guarantee you, 24 to 36 hours before that thing hit, people was running to the grocery stores. They were stocking up. They were getting bottled water. They was getting stuff that they could eat. It didn't have to be cooked. They was getting gas for their barbecue grills or charcoal for their barbecue grills so they could cook if they lost power. They were preparing. They were building up windows. They were getting ready. People was watching the weatherman and hanging on every word he was saying to be ready for that storm that was coming. Can I tell you what? Jesus says, I'm coming. And people are not getting ready. People are not getting ready. But we'll listen to the word and prepare for what he's saying is coming. Jesus is saying, I'm coming. My question to you today, are you ready? Do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, if Jesus comes tonight, tomorrow, or next week, you're going to be caught up in the rapture and you're going back to heaven. Do you know that? I pray everyone in this room knows that because I don't want to see anybody get left behind. Now, I talked to Brother Kenny, and he told me, well, y'all is closing the services now, so we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to leave you guys in the sinner's prayer. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want you just to repeat this sinner's prayer. And you can go to one of your church leaders and tell them if you accept Christ. You can come up here and tell me, or you can tell Brother Kenny when he gets back. And then we'll close in a regular prayer, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And Father, I believe that you are the Son of God. Father, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin and to come into my life and be Lord of my life. Father, show me the way you'd have me to live and to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that sinner's prayer, you can come up and talk to me or one of the leaders or Brother Kenny. Brian, are you going to lead a song, brother, or no? She's going to play? Okay. I'll close us out in prayer, and we'll be done. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the ones that turn aside to come out to hear your word this morning. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Father, that God, you are honored here today by everything that was said and done through song, through your word. God, I just pray you just bless this congregation. Lord, continue to have your hand upon this ministry. Father, continue to bless Brother Kenny as he leads this flock. And God, I just thank you now for all that you do through the life of this church. Lord, continue to work in this church. Continue to bless others through this church, Father. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll just bring us back at the next appointed time. Father, we love you, and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Y'all come back tonight if you can, okay? We're going to be in the very exciting book of Acts tonight.